43, the aspect of non-enlightenment, because of not truly realizing oneness with suchness, there emerges an unenlightened mind, and consequently its thoughts. These thoughts do not have any validity to be substantiated. Therefore, they are not independent of the original enlightenment. It is like the case of a man who has lost his way. He is confused because of his wrong sense of direction. If he is freed from the notion of direction altogether, then there will be no such thing as going astray. It is the same with men, because of the notion of enlightenment. They are confused. But if they are free from the fixed notion of enlightenment, then there will be no such thing as non-enlightenment, because there are men of unenlightened, deluded mind. For them, we speak of true enlightenment, knowing well what this relative term stands for. Independent of the enlightened mind, there are no independent marks of true enlightenment itself that can be discussed. From here, non-enlightenment will be described. So far, we studied enlightenment during the training sessions in the Hokyo's temple anyway. this section, I think, can be divided into two, from the beginning to the middle of the paragraph. 8 lines from the top. Then there will be no such thing as going astray. This is first section. And the rest of the section is the other. First section describe about non-enlightenment based on enlightenment. See the page 38. And at the top, the paragraph top, and look at the top paragraph. Number two, it says the process of actualization of enlightenment. Number two, it says grounded on the original enlightenment is non-enlightenment. The first paragraph explains about this. Grounded on the original enlightenment is non-enlightenment. Second section describes the rest of the sentence at page 38, and because of non-enlightenment, the process of actualization of the enlightenment can be spoken of. Okay. Let's see. Because of not truly realizing oneness with suchness, because of not truly realizing oneness with suchness, there emerges an unenlightened mind, and consequently, its thoughts. So far we studied enlightenment, original enlightenment is the true Dharma can be realized as one, exactly as one. But the non-enlightenment is that the true Dharma, the truth, cannot be realized in its oneness. There are issues forth the unenlightened mind. Okay. See, another translation by D.T. Suzuki, it says, by the so-called non-enlightenment, we mean that as the true Dharma is from all eternity not truthfully recognized in its oneness, their issues forth an enlightened mind. And then subjectivity, but this subjectivity has no self-existence independent of enlightenment a priori. Okay. So in this case, their issues for the mind means mind means in enlightenment, non-enlightenment. On the other hand, not truly realizing oneness with the truth means the source from which deluded thoughts emerge. The source is likened to the same character of non-enlightenment, but it cannot be considered as exactly non-enlightenment. Because non-enlightenment is a state of the consciousness which deluded thoughts occurred after. The mind operate, consciousness operate, then that is called deluded, non-enlightenment. But source of consciousness itself cannot be called non-enlightenment. source of enlightenment, that consciousness is something more than enlightenment. Because if you say, because the source is called non-enlightenment, the source, father, must be considered as non-enlightenment. And again, father discussion is going interesting. So, the non-enlightenment is a state of consciousness after it's operated. But the source of non-enlightenment, which is called consciousness, cannot realize the oneness, the truth as oneness. That means source of consciousness. Source of consciousness. Is that clear? No. Yeah. Let's go. So, enlightenment or non-enlightenment is a matter of awakening or a matter of cognition. Okay, cognition. And so from this point, the insofar as, you know, the insofar as there is an idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment, that is something after the consciousness is operated. So that's why, if you say non-enlightenment, it means that which consciousness operates. So consciousness, operation of consciousness is nothing but non-enlightenment. But a non-enlightenment can be grounded on enlightenment because there is a power which causes non-enlightenment to exist. So, but power which causes non-enlightenment to exist, it can be unknowable. Because when you sleep, the functioning of the consciousness cannot be knowable during sleep. So no matter how long, how often you wake up, anyway, the functioning of the consciousness cannot be known. So, and then the moment when the consciousness operates, that is called waking up. That is already due to consciousness, not non-enlightenment. Unenlightened mind. Okay? But the so next it says therefore, excuse me, these thoughts, excuse me, once more again, because of not truly realizing oneness with suchness, the translation says, we mean that as truly Dhamma is from all eternity, not truthfully recognized in its oneness, then the issues for unenlightened mind, this translation says, consequently, its thoughts is function of the consciousness. Function of the consciousness is matter of conscious, cognitive subjectivity, whatever you say. So consequently, its thoughts. This is deluded because function of the consciousness. Function of the consciousness dichotomize subject and object. This is a consciousness. Tapping on the consciousness. And before the, I think, what to say, the example of we learned explanation of relation with the truth, the ignorance, and the mode of consciousness. In other words, we studied the relation between the truth, ignorance, and consciousness, function of consciousness. Consciousness is a wave, is compared to wave. Truth is water, and ignorance is wind. So those three are interconnected, interpenetrated. Without water, the waves cannot exist. Without waves, the water cannot exist. And also, wind cannot exist. So, very naturally, those three are interconnected, interconnected. They never be separated. From this point, each of them, water, waves, wind, have no substantiality of its own. Only when they are interconnected, each of them can exist. They never exist separately. So, the total interdependent interpenetration is indication of the source of consciousness. source of the consciousness. The source of consciousness cannot be, cannot have its own definition, which is called non-enlightenment or enlightenment itself, because it is going interdependently, interpenetrating, like a school relation among the school and the student and teachers. So, because of not truly realizing oneness with suchness, there emerges an unenlightened mind. Then, consequently, it is called deluded thoughts. Okay. So these thoughts do not have any validity to be substantiated. So these thoughts do not have any validity to be substantiated, because deluded thoughts are nothing but the waves. So they don't have their own substantiality of their own.
Are these any thoughts?
Any thoughts. All thoughts. Yes, all thoughts. All thoughts means the not function of the consciousness. So can I say all thoughts means deluded thoughts. How consciousness operates, this is in this book the author the consciousness of the function of the consciousness can be occurred by ignorance, okay? Ignorance. But ignorance is not ignorance, okay? But ignorance is, ignorance is a kind of, lust, L-U-S-T, lust for life, and arrogance, attachment, and ignorance. But cognition itself operating in a simple way, concentrating. For instance, sense organs, the sense object and consciousness, senses. So when the sense organs see the microphone is assimilated with the sense organs and consciousness joins the consciousness judge. But at that time there is something extra which is called three poisons and also last for life, arrogance, attachment, ignorance. Okay. Those stuff, anyway, always exist there. So when the subject understands the microphone, and then we say there is a subject. Okay. For instance, I think, therefore, I exist. That means when I see the microphone, and then I understand the microphone, but at that time, I understand who I am. Without understanding I, you know, I can't understand the microphone. So, very naturally, when the consciousness operates and sees something, knows something, at that time the idea of the self or idea of subject comes into existence. Okay. So, the idea of the self goes with the lust for life and arrogance and attachment and the ignorance. And then there is something coming up. It's something going, which is very complicated. That is called ignorance. Very ignorance. Because ignorance doesn't know the self, who it is exactly. So very naturally, the function of the consciousness going constantly. But even though consciousness is operating, but consciousness itself doesn't know what it is. So very naturally, there is a blindness. There is a going, creating something that is lust for life, arrogance, attachment, ignorance. Lack of understanding the self, that is ignorance. So this is what is called ignorance, we say. These thoughts do not have any validity to be substantiated. So, therefore, they are not independent of original enlightenment. Because these thoughts means deluded thoughts do not have any validity to be substantiated. Means the mind going astray is separate from not separate from the mind not going astray. Therefore, the awakening of deluded thought would say guide you to the undefiled mind. So, undefiled, deluded mind is not separate from origin of the mind, because deluded mind can be awakened. But within deluded mind, there is a power which causes deluded mind to be awakened. Because always there is a power which causes deluded mind to be awakened. For instance, when you sleep, within the sleep, there is a power which has been prepared for you to be awakened, constantly. And then when the time is right, conditions are arranged, you can wake up. But the power which causes you to wake up cannot be seen, cannot be known. That is called enlightenment. But enlightenment is always there. So, these thoughts do not have, these thoughts, that's why these thoughts do not have any bodily to be substantiated. Therefore, they are not independent of the original enlightenment. It is like the case of the man who has lost his way. He is confused because of his wrong sense of direction. If he is free from the notion of direction altogether, then there will be no such things as going astray. Okay? You understand? This is, you have all the idea of directions. If you have idea of directions, you attach to it. Then that's why there is very naturally the idea of non-enlightenment or enlightenment comes into existence. When you are right in the right cause, so-called West, you say, I am right on, okay? Right in the direction. You are going in the right way. Okay? That is called enlightenment. Okay? But if you take the wrong directions, immediately you know anyway it's wrong. Because you are caught by already idea of directions. So, the enlightenment and non-enlightenment are connected each other already. So that's why he says they are not independent of the original enlightenment. It is like the case of a man who has lost his way. He is confused because of his wrong sense of direction. If he is freed from direction altogether, then there will be no such things as going astray. So if you free from idea of directions, you can be free from idea of direction or not the idea of direction by what you are going after. You can be completely free from the enlightenment or non-enlightenment. Free from the idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment means enlightenment doesn't have its own anyway, substantiality of its own. Because idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment is that only when the function of the consciousness operates. So something happens. But the source of the function of the consciousness is nothing. That is called enlightenment or truth. So basically, you are free. Anyway, you are free from any ideas. But actually practically, there are idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment. That's why we have to realize, we have to take care of idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment. So, if you have non-enlightenment, you have to be awakened, conscious of non-enlightenment. This is our practice. But Stuti speaking, intellectual with wisdom or with your intellectual intellect, you can see nothing in the bottom of the consciousness. It's truth. But practically speaking, you can see idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment, good or bad, right or wrong. So we have to realize it, we have to deal with it. So next, it is the same with men. Because of the notion of enlightenment, they are confused. But if they are free from the fixed notion of enlightenment, that's why I mentioned already because enlightenment is a state of existence which you are completely become one with the truth. At that time, it is called enlightenment. Means when you really go deeply into the consciousness, go to the depth of the consciousness, that is a one, okay. So it's a so-called truth. You can say the bottom, the depth of consciousness is called the non-enlightenment. You cannot say so. But it seems to be non-enlightenment because it's still consciousness. But a real bottom of the consciousness, real depth of consciousness cannot be defined. So it's really truth. No definition. There is no definition in the depths of consciousness. But intellectual, we want to know the beginning of the non-enlightenment, from where it starts to operate. That is our intellect. We try to know. But if you do it, always you have to the discussion of the finding the source goes constantly, endlessly, it goes. That's why Buddhism is not to be certain the beginning of the non-enlightenment, or enlightenment. Because enlightenment, non-enlightenment, water, and the waves, the wind, go together, interdependently, interconnected. So basically, each of them has no substantiality of its own. Okay. So it is the same with men because of the notion of enlightenment, they are confused, but if they are free from the fixed notion of enlightenment, then there will be no such things as non-enlightenment. Okay? So if you go deeply at the bottom of the consciousness, there is non-enlightenment. So if you are free from non-enlightenment, very naturally you can be free from idea of enlightenment. Because they are men of unenlightened, deluded men, for them we speak of a true enlightenment. But actually, there is idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment, idea of good and bad, right and wrong. Okay? So you have to deal with this idea. That's why it says, because they are men of unenlightened, deluded men, for them we speak of true enlightenment. Knowing well, that's why we have to know well what this religious term stands for. Independent of the unenlightened mind, there are no independent marks of true enlightenment itself that can be discussed. So, enlightenment or non-enlightenment always connected each other. Without non-enlightenment, you cannot have idea of enlightenment. Okay. So, because both occurred from the fountain of the consciousness. Nothing but cognitive functions. So each of them doesn't have its own self, doesn't have its own substantiality. So they come into existence by only cognitions, the function of the cognitions. Function of the cognition is activity of cognitions. Activity of the mind. Do you have questions?
Would you say this, does that mean then that the first sentence, because of not truly realizing oneness and suchness, there emerges an unenlightened mind, that the realizing of oneness and suchness is done unconsciously?
What way is it?
The very first line.
The first line. What is the question?
The first line says, because of not realizing oneness and suchness,
mm-hmm.
there emerges an unenlightened mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if it seems to me you're saying that consciousness itself, except perhaps at the base, mm-hmm. is unenlightened or unenlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we were to realize
mm-hmm.
oneness with suchness,
mm-hmm.
we could only do it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct?
Mm-hmm. So at that time, no subject and no object.
But consciousness could be without subject and object, couldn't it?
Consciousness, yes. Consciousness immediately decolonized subject and object.
Oh, I see. So there's no such thing as conscious unity.
No, in the conscious level, there is no unities, no idea of unities. That is immediately you can do it. That is capable of the consciousness.
Well, then is consciousness different from awareness?
Consciousness and your question is, consciousness is different from awareness.
Right.
Uh-huh. Awareness of consciousness is also the nothing but activity of cognition. So awareness of the mind, the awareness of the mind.
Well, no.
Awareness of consciousness.
I'm just thinking of awareness of the non-duality of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There is an awareness of that, right?
It is
all in the dark.
Yes, that is called the enlightenment, the idea of enlightenment. Okay.
But but that's not conscious.
It's consciousness. It's still it's consciousness. Because awareness comes up, comes into existence through the function of the cognitions, activity of cognitions.
Did you say that awareness was the idea of enlightenment?
Still awareness, the idea.
The idea, not enlightenment.
So consciousness, that's the idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment.
It's just an idea.
It's ideas. It's intellectual understanding. So because the true Dharma can be realized in its oneness, means exactly one. No idea. That is the silence and the truth we say so. Truth which is one. For instance, when you become one with exactly death, you cannot say death. When you become exactly one with sleeping, you cannot say sleep. No idea of sleep. No idea of the function of the consciousness. Nothing. So that is exactly the oneness with the truth. But from this, from that situation, the idea of enlightenment or awareness or not awareness comes up. Do you understand?
If you're one with death or one with sleep,
mm-hmm.
that's different from being completely awake.
Different. Oneness is exactly different. Oneness of the death is exactly different from awareness. Awareness of death.
Right. Right. But when you're, but enlightenment is being completely awake.
Yes, awake.
But you can't know about it.
So it's still it's not real enlightenment. Real enlightenment is exactly non-enlightenment. No idea of enlightenment. That is real science. For instance, when you do a show, and then you are waking up for enlightenment of Gassho. So you say, and you also you experience feeling peaceful and harmonious, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we say, I attain enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's an idea of enlightenment, do you understand? But real enlightenment is just quiet, very quiet, just do it. It's moving, constant. You understand?
It seems to me there's awareness without idea. But it seems to me you're saying there's no awareness without idea.
No idea of awareness. But no idea of awareness is exactly grounded on the idea of awareness. That's why it's connected. Because the silence of the Gassho. And then you can feel, you can awaken, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can awaken Gassho. That's why there is the idea of enlightenment comes up, idea of awakening coming up, okay? But simultaneously when you feel peaceful through the Gassho, immediately it's idea. But real idea, real Gassho as a silence is there with the idea of Gassho. So simultaneous. In other words, when you sleep, you don't know who you are, you cannot know who you are, you cannot know idea of sleep. But it is silence, but it's there because you sleep.
It sounds like you're saying that enlightenment is really like sleep.
Yes, exactly.
But you're only telling us to wake up.
Hmm?
You're only telling us to wake up.
Yeah, wake up because confused. If you live all this that silence world, you don't know what you should do. Because everything, nothing.
So you,
since we wake up, we're in ignorance.
You're in ignorance. That's why you have to deal with ignorance.
I'm doing that.
Hmm?
How?
That's why we have to lose our thing. Okay. Day by day. But when you do that, then simultaneously that is nothing but the delusions, so-called, confused by idea of enlightenment or non-enlightenment. Lots of things come up, okay? But when you do that, then exactly there is the silence of Zazen, which makes you exactly stable, peaceful, harmonious.
And unconscious.
Yeah, unconscious. So immediately you can feel good, and then this is delusions, because it is nothing but functional and cognitions. Please take the sticky stuff. If you go this way, you can go this way, but immediately you are bounced.
Yeah.
You are bounced to the other side, and then you can go. And then immediately you can see it, but immediately you are bounced. So you cannot stay either one of them. This is the interdependent core origination of this. This is the basic, basic nature of existence. That is explained as example of the relation between the wind and the water and waves in this book.
Could you say then that the waves?
Waves of consciousness.
Waves recognize that the water was there after the fact. I mean, it's when you have a wave that you knew that you are in the water, that you are the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but before you have the wave, there's nothing.
Nothing. So before the waves come up, waves, you know, water is very still. It means the truth. Anyway.
But nobody knows that.
Nobody knows. But there is a possibility of a wave. Waves comes from waves within that truth. When the time is right, conditions are arranged. It's come up. So samsara, illusions, dual world comes up. Where is dual world existent? In the truth.
Is that why you say real enlightenment is not enlightenment?
Yeah, idea comes up.
You said real enlightenment is non-enlightenment.
If real enlightenment is silence, completely free from no idea, free from idea of anything.
Well, it really doesn't help to go deeper and deeper to, you know, towards the bottom of consciousness, because no matter how deep we go, we're still in that situation where there is ignorance and enlightenment tied together. I've had the idea that as you go deeper, you become more free.
Yes, free.
But it doesn't work that way. But free doesn't mean
avocado seed, you know. Free, all this something come up. When you walk, when your life occurs, it's come up. That is a freedom. But when you don't, when your life doesn't work, it doesn't work.
No, but I mean, I thought that if you go deeper towards the bottom of consciousness, that then you become freer of unconsciousness.
Yes.
But it doesn't sound as though that's true. It sounds as though at every point they're tied together.
Yes, tied together. That means
so there's no way. It doesn't matter how deep you go, they're still tied together.
It's tied together, but But if you go the depth of the consciousness, exactly, you are just free from, without any the concept, without any definition.
Yeah, but then you're either asleep or unconscious. You know, you're not conscious of it. So you can't be conscious of.
What you're asking for is to hold the consciousness.
Yeah.
So you can't do that.
You can't do that. You can be peaceful, mm-hmm. but you can't hold on.
You can't be aware of being peaceful.
No.
No, freedom or the peace, real peace, freedom is something what occurs when you work. When you work, that is nothing but the functions. For instance, if you say I am a burglar, okay, this which is other subject, you know, the burglar and the subject cannot exist without it, his function, its function. So you have to steal something, and then it's called function, the burglar. So burglar, subject and object, and your subject and the function of this working together. And then simultaneously, its own object comes up, comes into existence. Naturally. So, object and subject, the functions, anyway, comes together and working together.
We're really like a gateway. First,
mm-hmm.
You know, like always wanting to know.
Yes.
But finally, he says, you know, nothing to be understood, you know. What you're saying,
yes.
Doing.
Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is when you do gassho must be functions. That's it. Every day. And for moment to moment, you do gassho with your whole body and mind, bringing the peace and harmony to your body and mind. Do gassho, that's it. From moment simultaneously, you feel peace, you feel harmony, and then you are stumbled. You are caught by idea. Because that function of the consciousness goes with, you know, attachment lasts for life, attachment, ignorance, etc. So there is, in the world of communism, there is something missing. Which let you know, not clear idea of the self. So very naturally, mind itself doesn't know what it is, but mind is constantly working. So very naturally, there is a three poisons comes up.
Seems like as human beings, this is the point where we really slip off.
Yes.
Because it's like we're always wanting to know,
mm-hmm.
you know, Western mind, and, you know, understand.
Did you see the diagram drawn by the Lucian Mercy and the pumpkins, picture of the pumpkin, and also he says one line is always going up or going down. That's it. Do you remember that diagram? The real peace, real freedom is just like a one line, okay? But more or less, we are going up or going down, stripping off this peace, real peace, by experience, by understanding, by awareness. Idea of enlightenment, you can go. I feel good, then you're going up. But real peace is always silence, that's why you have to come back to the silence. That is, Buddhism says, let's give away the merit of your practice to, anyway, emptiness and to others, all sentient beings. This is, anyway, come up, and then giving away the merit of experience to the empty silence. That is called echo, we say. Echo. Not E-C-H-O, but in Japanese, echo. So, the more or less we are always going up, going down. Okay?
Practically speaking, do does it practically speaking, does it require more work to be deluded?
In the cognitive world, you know.
You're saying yes?
Yeah, in the cognitive world.
That would make sense.
So that's why you have to, you are already in the functioning of the cognition, but right in the middle of functioning of cognition, you can be free from that cognition. In other words, you can stop functioning the consciousness. There is nothing but the function, just practice activities.
How can you stop functioning the consciousness?
That's why now it's a samadhi and wholeheartedness.
What directs you to stopping the function of the consciousness?
But when you say stop means already idea of stop or not stop. Mm-hmm. So the real stop means you just jump into the activity of the consciousness, activity of form, activity of you. Just jump into. And then you can be free.
So if you consciously direct yourself to jump into, stop the function of consciousness if you're consciously directing yourself to jump into?
Well, that is already your real jump into the consciousness, you know, function of the consciousness. That means you can go deeply, depth. You can go deeply, the bottom into the consciousness. So that is a function. That is a function or that is an activity or process of the practice. But we are always going up, you know, balancing your goal deeply, but simultaneously you can stay with it. That's where you can balance it. And going back to the conscious world. So always go deeply and balancing it. And you see the consciousness. So always you don't know. You don't know that the depth of the consciousness. So you are always thinking in the conscious level. So you don't know real stop, real meaning of the stop. You don't know. But all you have to do is just go deeply at the bottom of the consciousness. That's it. That's why with wholeheartedness, you have to do it. And then you can experience samadhi. That is called samadhi. Okay. So idea of stop or not stop is still consciousness. So that's why the dialogue and contemplated, extinguished the contemplation. Mm-hmm. It says it's not necessary to think of it. You know. Why do you think so? That is when you think so, that is already you are caught by the consciousness.
I'm Maharshi, when you first started talking, you divided this paragraph into two sections. And the first section was that non-enlightenment was based on enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Would the second section be freedom from the notion of enlightenment?
Yeah, the second notion is the process of actualization of enlightenment can be spoken of because of non-enlightenment. That means do you understand, because of non-enlightenment, the process of actualization of enlightenment can be spoken of. Means within the sleeping, there is a power which calls you awake. So within the sleeping, there is a power of awakening. Otherwise, you cannot wake up. Even though you cannot know the function of the consciousness during the sleeping, but there is anyway. Function of the consciousness exists, which you cannot know.
Non-enlightenment makes it possible to speak of enlightenment, then that's one way you can see that it's not bad. I mean,
no, it's not.
Positive aspect is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Too positive. But actually, there is non-enlightenment in our everyday life in the samsaric world. So if you don't take care of non-enlightenment as it is, you know, non-enlightenment goes constant. Okay. So non-enlightenment as the pretty positive for, you know, the energies, you know, to help your life, but you have to take care of non-enlightenment as it is.
I'm still confused about the analogy between enlightenment and sleep.
Hmm?
Between enlightenment and sleep. You're saying enlightenment is like sleep,
mm-hmm.
in that there's no awareness of, there's no separation of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that in sleep there are big vibrations of consciousness, and we're just numb to it. I mean, but sometimes in sleep you can be aware that you can see what you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that one, but what if you complete sleep like lock? I'm talking about perfect sleep.
So why isn't Buddhist practice in sleep?
When you sleep, when Buddhists practice to sleep, so obviously it doesn't make sense in your everyday life. You're dying. Complicated to death. Right in the middle of sleeping. You see that? You can know. You know, practice and within the heart of practice, you are really suffocated to death. And on the other end, if you don't practice, you're suffocated to death. So, which is better? Nothing. But where are you? You are either one of them. You see, so? So you have to deal with both of them. And then right in the middle of hard practice, you can be free from. So that is our practice anyway. Where is the freedom? Well, what is the freedom? Where is it? How can you manifest freedom? Hey.
Enlightenment working through unenlightenment, say in discussion, can be a tool, or that can point to enlightenment beyond unenlightenment, meaning communicating with other people. Enlightenment through consciousness can be a tool, say in discussion, in or through, you know, through language, in pointing to enlightenment beyond consciousness.
You can point out. You can. It is nothing but pointing out, just feeling. Uh-huh. So you can talk about enlightenment through the consciousness, but it is nothing but the feelings pointing out. In other words, you're always hanging around really like you never go the center. So that's why discussion is very important, but discussion is going interesting. It's pretty hard to know. That's why Buddhism, even the Buddhism, study the Buddhism, still you don't know how to manifest the freedom. You know, where is the freedom? It's pretty hard to know through the study of general Buddhism. It's pretty hard.
Study of general Buddhism, you know, like what people did over the years of, you know, all those categories and all those things. Is that in a way no difference really than what we do, you know, in the 20th century?
No difference.
Not really. I mean, we're doing it in Western psychology, you know, we're having all these categories of sleep, you know.
So studying the Buddhism is pretty helpful to arrange the function of the consciousness, you know, to know what the consciousness is. And also the philosophy or psychology of Buddhism is not only the explaining the consciousness, explaining the structure of the consciousness, but the talking always how to be free from consciousness or free from structure of consciousness.
Seems like it's real easy to get hung up there.
Right.
You know, because even a lot of talks I hear about Buddhism, you know, are real hung up
in
all of that. And it doesn't get down to
living. That's why the more you are intellect, the more you don't know. And then finally you are caught by mysticism. Very natural. In the history of Buddhism, such things always happen. Because you don't know the intellect that makes you confused. You can't stay, your life can't be the grounded on earth. Because earth, the reality of being on the earth is a very complicated structure. It's very natural you don't know what you should do. So very naturally you become mystical because you have to want, you really want to have a strong power to jump over, you know, be free from this reality and jumping over to the other shore. So for this you need a very strong energies and practice and using the lots for means. Very natural it happens. So mantra and chanting and practice hard, you can come back usual everyday life with relief. Yeah. It's pretty hard. So that's why you need intellect, but on the other hand you have to let it go. This flexibility is necessary for us. But you can't ignore intellect, understand. So you have to know. But if you do it, you are caught by the intellect. So that's where you have to be careful.